Welcome to our third Issues That Matter Forum. This series of discussions is presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters, and KUAR FM 89.1. I'm Michael Heplin, News Director of KUAR, and I'll be moderating the discussion. This is being taped for broadcast at a later date. We're coming to you from the Nixon Library in Jacksonville, which is part of CALS. The topic tonight is an important one, the 2020 census. Before we delve in, let me give an explanation of the format. First, I'll ask questions that have been curated by us. Then we'll open it up to questions here. And for each question, I'll start with a different panelist. Each person on the panel is invited to answer. We may not have something relevant for each person, but feel free to weigh in. And so we'll go ahead and introduce our panelists. Fort Smith Mayor George McGill is chair of the State Complete Count Committee. The committee was created by an executive order of Governor Asa Hutchinson to ensure an accurate count of the state. Retired Colonel Nancy Shefflett is working with the U.S. Census Bureau. She is also co-chair of the Jacksonville Census 2020 Committee, working to make sure the city, including the Little Rock Air Force Base, is accurately reflected in the census. Kara Wilkins, coordinator of the 2020 Census for Arkansas Impact Philanthropy and its partners, Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families, Arkansas Public Policy Panel, and Arkansas United. The campaign says it is committed to ensuring an accurate and representative census count with a targeted focus on hard-to-count populations. That includes people of color, low-income communities, rural communities, immigrant communities, and children under five. And Jennifer Chilcote is Deputy Director of the Arkansas State Library, who can discuss sensitive initiatives going on in Arkansas libraries to help in this process. So we'll begin with my first question for Mayor George McGill. What are the ramifications for the state of an undercount for Arkansas when it comes to federal funding?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you first for hosting this. This gives us an opportunity to kick off our awareness campaign concerning the 2020 census. It's very critical. Most people don't understand that much of the state's budget is driven by dollars that are determined by the census. In Arkansas, in 2014, approximately 33% of the state's budget came from federal dollars. And a large portion of that was driven by the census count. At that point, it was about $2,000 per person that came to filled out their census. About $2,000 per person came to our state based on the census. A lot of people don't understand that Medicaid dollars, highway dollars, dollars for senior programs, dollars for feeding programs are all driven by our census count. So it's very critical that we get a good, accurate count. So again, awareness is the key. The governor has charged our committee with creating maximum awareness around the state and encouraging people to not, encouraging communities to not be undercounted. Our tax dollars go to the federal government. We would like to get a return. So everyone needs to understand that a big part of our dollars that are spent in the state and distributed around the state are driven by the census count.
Colonel Shefflett, for you, the challenges with the Little Rock Air Force Base, but what are the ramifications that you see?
Well, I think in general, if you are not getting an accurate census count, you're denying the citizens in your jurisdiction the benefits from the federal dollars that could flow to them. And so it's incumbent on our volunteer committees and also our mayor. Of course, we have a state committee, so we know that statewide we're going to be working on this as well. So it's up to all of us to make sure that we understand the importance of the census and how much benefit it can bring to each of our communities, by having a diligent populace that understands the importance and participates fully in the census.
And with the Air Force Base, you have people who are transient somewhat. I guess that must be a unique challenge.
Well, you know, this is the first year that the base census count is going to apply to the city of Jacksonville. And this is the first year that the Department of Commerce, which owns the Census Bureau, and the Department of Defense got together to come up with a specific methodology to use for military members depending on where they physically are on April 1st, which is the census date. So we now have good procedures, and I think the turnout on the military side will be much better this time around, and hopefully so in the future.
Ms. Wilkins, your thoughts, the ramifications and importance and what this means?
Sure. So for us, we think at Arkansas Counts that it's important to kind of echo some of the comments who've been made earlier. It's really about making sure that everyone is counted so we can make sure that the federal dollars that support the programs that are needed here in Arkansas matter. We know that a 1% undercount will result in up to $750 million lost in Arkansas over the course of 10 years. And so for us, knowing that Arkansas is, you know, usually 45th, 46th, 47th, 48th, or 49th in certain indicators surrounding education, surrounding health care, those dollars matter. Medicaid is the number one federally funded program that we receive money for here in Arkansas, and we are one of the top 10 states that receive Medicaid funding. So an undercount could really affect individuals who need those dollars and need that money and need those support services in order to have basic health and wealth happiness here in our state.
Ms. Chilcote?
I can speak directly to what an undercount would mean for libraries in the state. From at a federal level, the Arkansas State Library receives over $3 million annually in order to be able to support libraries throughout the state. One example of that, I just spent my entire day at a leadership institute. We've had 60 different librarians go through our leadership institute, and they learn to make connections and to, they learn, one of the things that we stressed today was getting out in the community and being able to talk to people and people who might be their funders. So those dollars come directly to the Arkansas State Library, and we are able to use those to provide services. On the other hand, direct money to public libraries in the state is given every year out of the state budget, and those dollars are also distributed on a per capita basis. And so I don't want to pit one community against another in getting dollars for their library, but every citizen who gets counted in a community, that count contributes directly to the amount of funding that library will receive in order to be able to help people in the public and to provide services, to be able to do summer reading programs, and to be able to have facilities that host programs like these.
And Colonel Shefflett, we'll start with you on this question, but for all of you, how do you feel the census being conducted largely online will impact census participation?
The census this year, for the first time, they are planning to have 60% of the responses from residents of the United States and its territories respond online. That could be using the mobile phone application that they're going to have available, and also going online and inputting the data directly rather than just filling out a card and sending it back in. That will still be possible. It's going to be a change, but people are very tech savvy, maybe not people of my generation so much, but the youngsters are certainly used to using the technology to their advantage. For adults who may struggle, or kids as well who may struggle, I think the communities that are experiencing the opportunity to have a complete count committee for the census can be creative in how they find help for citizens who would like to try to input their data electronically but maybe aren't as tech savvy as they'd like to be. I know here in Jacksonville, this library is going to open up their computer area, and they will help citizens who are having trouble making those inputs. And our school district is going to do the same thing, and we'll probably have businesses and other public areas that will provide their computers for public use. So if we all work together to try to overcome the obstacles that might be there, we can use that technology to our advantage, and maybe that will convince more people that the census isn't such a big deal, that they can just go ahead and find a computer and put their information in.
Well, you bring up an important point, and Ms. Wilkins, I'll bring this to you. Is there the concern that older people who normally have high census rates in the past, participation may be less likely to take part?
I think that is a concern, and so according to U.S. Census Bureau data, older individuals, I think 65 and older, are about 65% more likely to do the census. And so that is important. That is a huge part in a community that we need to make sure that they are aware that the census is moving online. And to the Colonel's point, that there are going to be what we're calling census support sites at local schools, local libraries, local businesses. The other thing that I do want to underscore is that there are other opportunities for people to do the census outside of the online application, and they can do it by phone, and also you can also receive a mail form. But the online application will be the first sort of rollout, and that'll be the first sort of interaction that people have with the census. And then at that point, they will receive information about how to make a phone call to do the census over the phone or to be able to receive the paper application. But there are other alternatives that, you know, we may need to look at for 2020 as we continue to help people make the transition from the 2010 census and how that was conducted.
And Ms. Chilcote, the library obviously is going to hopefully play a key role. Could you talk a little bit about what the library is doing with regards to the online component?
Yes, and I'm glad that Kara brought up the point that the census does not have to be answered online. And I think that a lot of the hype has been around, oh, the census is going to be online, the census is going to be online, and it's very important that people understand that that's not going to be their only option. We have big concerns at the Arkansas State Library and in the library community. I'll get a little bit more later on. I think one of your questions is going to have to do with the outreach that the Arkansas State Library is doing, but I'm looking at some figures for some of the libraries that we're really trying to target. And census data reveals that some of them have, when they're reporting the internet, whether or not they have internet availability in their homes, there's some areas in Jefferson County that are as low as 59.34% do not have internet access in their homes. And so we hope to be able to get out the word that A, you don't have to answer the census online, just as Kara has said, but B, if you do end up doing the census online, or if you don't get that first message and you think that you do have to answer the census online, that you know that the library is there and that our staff are trained and that we treat all the information confidentially so that the members of the public will have that comfortability with getting the assistance they need, because there are a lot of people who simply aren't going to be able to do it at home.
Mayor McGill?
We believe that the more channels that we can create to allow people to participate, the better off we're going to be. We're going to be engaging our faith-based community. We're going to be engaging our nonprofit sectors. We're going to be engaging our public schools. We're going to be engaging our young people and encouraging them to, particularly in our hard-to-count communities, we're going to be encouraging the young people to go home and assist mom and dad maybe in completing the census. And we want to make sure that they understand that everyone should be counted, even the baby should be counted. So a lot of effort is going into education and maximum awareness. And we want to make it fun and exciting when people realize that that their effort to participate in the census is going to benefit them and their state and our nation, I think people are more likely to be involved.
For those just tuning in on the radio, this is the Issues That Matter Forum, part of KUAR, the Central Arkansas Library System, and the League of Women Voters. I'm Michael Hiplin. Our guests are Mayor George McGill of Fort Smith, Colonel Nancy Shefflett, Kara Wilkins, and Nancy Chilcote. Kara, I'll move with you to this question, or I'm sorry, Ms. Chilcote.
Ah.
This is for you. No, actually, I'm sorry. I think it is your turn, correct?
Okay.
Talk to me a little bit, and you spoke a little bit about this, but how will the state libraries work to let people know about how they can use computers and get online?
Okay, well, we're very excited about the effort that we have underway, and I want to give credit to Mark Crisp with CALS and to Kara Wilkins with Arkansas Impact Philanthropy, because they basically came to me and said, you know, we want to involve libraries. And if for those of you who are library savvy, you know a lot about what libraries can do, but we're not always the first organization that people think about when they think about getting the word out. And so we're extremely excited to have been invited to the table. And because of Kara's efforts, we were able to secure a $40,000 grant to assist us in our efforts. And what we're going to be doing with that money comes in a couple of different parts. We would like to be able to push out additional technology capability to libraries throughout the state, as far as providing extra computers, or in our case, we're using iPads. We simply didn't have the capacity to do that. But what we are doing is, if you go online and you look at one of the hard to count maps, there's a pretty bright area in the state of Arkansas, which is clustered around the Mississippi River Delta. And so we have picked that area. There are some library development districts. There are five in the state of Arkansas, which means nothing to most people, except that most of these libraries are in Library Development District 5. And so that's where we're going to be concentrating our efforts. We have 23, and I think today I just added a couple more that I'll be talking to Kara about. So can we please add two more? Please add two more libraries to our list. So it looks like we're going to have 25 libraries in the Delta that we will be providing iPads with a kiosk-type stand for dedicated use for people to come in and answer the census. And that will enable someone to come up, and instead of having to go through a process of signing onto a computer or even having a library card, they can just come right up to the desk, and the library staff member will help them in the moment. And that leads me to part number two of three that we will be doing. Part number two is that we will be training librarians around the state. We have approximately 12 in-person training sessions that we're going to be conducting. We also have capability to do training, which will be viewable online, and we have 231 library outlets in the state of Arkansas, from very large to the teeny tiny, and we hope to reach as many of those as we can, hopefully at least 90%, with some sort of training, so that when people do come in to answer the census, if they feel any kind of trepidation about that, they're going to have their questions answered capably, and they're going to be led through the process in a very capable manner, so that they will thereby feel confident in the process. And it will be quick and easy, just like it is supposed to be. And the third part of our effort is simply to be doing some printed materials, bookmarks, posters, flyers to send out to libraries. People in libraries love bookmarks. They pick them up all the time. So we're going to have some great bookmarks out there for people to pick up that will give information about the census, how to answer it, and how you know that your information will be kept confidential.
And Mayor McGill, beyond the online component, there will still be the traditional people going out canvassing?
Yes. It's been said that almost 500,000 people are being recruited to canvass. And so we're recruiting people to participate in that. Be great part-time jobs. We're calling on, we've solicited our university in Fort Smith, soliciting their students to be a part of this. And so again, maximum awareness and ease of participation in Fort Smith. We're gonna have a mobile unit. We've outfitted a transit bus, and we're gonna have 4 or 5 kiosks on that vehicle and move it about the city. We'll make sure it appears at events, activities around town, and we'll have people there available to assist those who are interested in participating in the census. Also, we're gonna be engaging all of our legislators, all of our elected officials, our county judges, our mayors, our aldermen. We're gonna be soliciting their help in creating PSAs to be aired on radio and television around the state. Again, we believe when our citizens see familiar faces, they're more likely to listen and participate upon their requests. So we've got a lot of work to do, but I think we attended a regional meeting in Chicago, and I think they said Arkansas was 35th in participation in the census, and our goal is to do much better than that. So we're gonna all hands on deck in the 2020 census.
And one of the audience questions was, do we have enough people to do that legwork out going from home to home?
Again, it's gonna be creating awareness and being proactively engaged in recruiting people to do this work. I know there'll probably be some challenges, but if we want to maximize our count, we're just gonna have to generate the interest and make it interesting for people to participate and help us with the physical count. And I think we can get there. I think we'll get there.
Colonel Shefflett.
Our Complete Count Committee, we call the Jacksonville Census 2020 Committee, we have partnered with the NAACP chapter here in Jacksonville, and they are actively participating with us. Our committee, along with the census employees who are going around canvassing, we are visiting every residence in each of our 11 what we call high-risk areas that had poor performance in the 2010 census. And so we are trying to early on establish relationships with the people in these areas of the city because they're probably the hardest to convince. A lot of them are single parents. Some of them are Hispanics who are afraid to even think about participating in the census. And so with that personal relationship that we're trying to develop with our volunteers of all different types in our community, we hope that those relationships will come April 1st, be remembered, and that these citizens that might previously have been afraid or not willing to participate will do so this time.
And Ms. Wilkins, any concerns or thoughts?
So I think, you know, my fellow panelists have really hit the nail on what we're really talking about today, which is outreach and engagement in the various forms. And so whether it's at the library or whether it's through the mobile kiosk unit, which is going through Fort Smith, which I love, or whether it's, you know, engaging groups like the NAACP and other places to do canvassing, I think what we're saying is we recognize that there's a need for that here in Arkansas. And so one of the things that we've done from a philanthropic standpoint from Arkansas Impact Philanthropy is seeded money into communities to help support some of this work. But we know that philanthropy alone cannot be the only people who are putting dollars towards these efforts. And so we have, worked with the Governor's Complete Count Committee to submit recommendations that we hope will be taken up that will help provide state dollars towards supporting some of these efforts so that they can be done on a you know, more larger scale, and we can impact more families, reach more families, and make sure that more people are aware of all of these outreach strategies and all of these plans that everyone here has kind of highlighted.
And to stay with you for my next question, people of color are consistently undercounted in the census. What is being done in Arkansas to get out the count, or get out the to reach out to these people, make sure they are counted?
Well, I will tell you, Michael, that is a loaded question. But to speak specifically, I think you are correct. If you look at the U.S. Census data, you have historically seen a trend of an undercount in minority communities across the board. And so that, you know, can be Black communities as well as Latinx communities, Vietnamese, Marshallese, other people. Here in Arkansas, as you know, we have a large Marshallese population in Northwest Arkansas. And I believe in the last 2010 census, they have estimated that they had an undercount of almost 10,000 people. Marshallese individuals have kind of a quasi-immigrant status, so they're here legally, but they don't necessarily receive all of the benefits of a U.S. citizen, but they are here and they should be counted. And so one of the things that we've been doing is working with the Arkansas Coalition of Marshallese, Melissa Leleon, who is on our Arkansas Complete Count Committee, and she's also on the Governor's Complete Count Committee. The reason why this is important specifically for the Marshallese community is that because they are such a small population here in the United States, census materials will not be provided in their language. And so they will not, there will not be any flyers, and they will not be able to complete the census online in Marshallese. So one of the things that I know that ARCOM has been working on is working with the Department of Human Services Office of Minority Health to actually do the translation of all of the census materials and get it out to the Marshallese community. And I think Mayor McGill, you talked about earlier about faith-based communities. That is key in all communities of color, I think. So when you're talking about Latinx communities, you could be talking about Catholic Charities. When you're talking about, you know, Black communities, you could talk about any church, basically, in the Marshallese community. I think getting out awareness through those trusted sources in places where people feel comfortable and trust the messenger, be it their pastor or be it other people, is going to be key. And not to ramble on, but I do also want to highlight some work that's happening down in the city of Pine Bluff, which is a large minority Black community. And they have really come under the leadership of Mayor Shirley Washington to really help drive the census, not only in the city, but also through their college, which is University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, which is a majority Black institution, and making sure that those students are involved in going out in the community and making sure that people of color are counted. And so I think that there are a lot of strategies happening, and hopefully what we will see is a reverse in that trend in 2020, where we will start seeing more people feeling comfortable about completing the census.
Yeah, there's almost a suspicion among some people, different communities, as well as people of certain political beliefs when it comes to this. Ms. Chilcote.
Yes, you're right. there is a certain amount of suspicion. I was just a small anecdote, but I was surfing around looking at various census-related topics on the internet, and I came across a Facebook page that had been put together by someone who was upset that that what they termed illegal immigrants were going to be allowed to answer the census. And so this group was trying to rally support for not answering the census in order to offset the numbers that are that were generated by counting people who are immigrants. And so there's a wide variety, just an astonishing variety of reasons that people can come up with for not answering the census. And I think for anyone who's listening to the program right now, we are working so hard to get the word out. And any individual can be helpful in going online, find something on the census website that you can put on your Facebook page. And it means so much more coming, you know, we're definitely talking about getting trusted voices, talking about involving the faith community, and all sorts of other avenues. But people also just listen to their friends. And if you will go online and find something, put it on the socials, put it on your Instagram, put it on your Facebook, and let people know that you're already thinking about the census. And I think just anecdotally in my mind, I can only imagine that if we can create a populace that expects to answer the census when they receive it, they don't receive the census and say, oh, wow, what do I do now? Or do I need to answer this? Or do I dare to answer this? We need to create an expectation in everyone's mind, as many minds as we can reach, that when the census is available, yes, I will answer. That's what I'll do. And if they have decided ahead of time to do it, they will do it when it shows up.
Mayor McGill, your thoughts, what could be done to reach out to people who are for one reason or another suspicious?
I think education is going to be critical, particularly in light of the fact that Supreme Court ruled that the citizenship question should not be on the census. A lot of people fear that for whatever reasons. So a big part of our efforts is going to be making the people of Arkansas understand that it's a simple process, probably less than 5 minutes, and the information is going to be encrypted, and you will not have access to it for almost 100 years. And if people are using any services in Arkansas, if they're drinking the fine water like we have in Fort Smith, Arkansas, they need to complete the census. If they're accessing anything in the state of Arkansas, we're going to ask them to be a part of the census. And then again, reiterate the value, the impact that their participation will have on the state coffers. Again, get them to understand that the citizenship question is not there, and that we are looking for a count of the number of people in Arkansas. That's the driving force.
Colonel Shefflett.
Again, I think that when we have the opportunity to talk to people one-on-one or in small groups and really explain what the census is all about, it's not a boogeyman coming to get them. The census has many, many benefits that flow to the communities and the individuals that we're trying to explain the process to. And if we can break down those barriers by making the effort to talk to these individuals that are negatively inclined, it just makes a huge difference. Now, I will say that in our efforts in Jacksonville, we've had some difficulties. For example, we've tried a couple of times to find Hispanic leaders that would work with us, and we have not really found an Hispanic leader whose work life permits him. This one individual runs a restaurant, and he would be an ideal person because he knows a lot of Hispanics, but he's not able to spend the time that we would like to see him devote to this. And so we continue to look for these opportunities, and there are other ethnic groups. We have a Korean community here. We have a Filipino community here, and we just seek out these folks that have these connections and let them know that we're interested in partnering with them so that we can have the most success by having the greatest breadth in the population that we engage with.
We are coming to you from the Nixon Library in Jacksonville. This is the third Issues That Matter Forum, a series of discussions presented by the Central Arkansas Library System, the League of Women Voters, and KUAR FM 89.1. If you're just joining us, I'll reintroduce our panelists. Fort Smith Mayor George McGill is chair of the State Complete Count Committee, which was created by an executive order of Governor Asa Hutchinson. Retired Colonel Nancy Shefflett is working with the U.S. Census Bureau and is co-chair of the Jacksonville Census 2020 Committee. Kara Wilkins, coordinator of the 2020 Census for Arkansas Impact Philanthropy, and its partners, Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. Arkansas Public Policy Panel, and Arkansas United. And Jennifer Chilcote is Deputy Director of the Arkansas State Library. Mayor, we'll start with you on this question. You mentioned the mobile facility or mobile vehicle that you're using to get out. Do you know, are other cities using similar kinds of vehicles? Or
we hope so. Again, what we're looking for is every means or every channel we can to disseminate the information and create ease of participating in the census. For example, we'll make sure that mobile unit ends up at our assisted living facilities where our senior citizens are, at our nursing homes, at our senior citizen centers during the lunch hour. We're going to make sure that that vehicle is at ethnic events that will be held in and around our area. So again, hopefully others will do the same. Again, what we want to do is be creative in every way possible to make participation in the census very easy and exciting to do and make it patriotic, give people a sense of value when they understand the impact that their participation has on the state's coffers.
Colonel Shefflett, any other creative ways you've heard of reaching people?
Well, creativity was what came to mind when I heard the mayor talk about his mobile census bus. I think that's a terrific idea. We have a person on our committee in Jacksonville who is an expert in creating commercials and video productions, and so we've engaged her as a volunteer, and she is putting together some little commercials for the census in Jacksonville. And so we're very thankful that we have that talent available. We did create a Facebook page. I am not that tech savvy. I don't think I could do a Facebook page, but I can certainly look at them. And so we have a very active Facebook page, and we have a person who has created and is managing that Facebook page. She used to work for one of the local television stations, and she's very energetic, and she just loves working on this Facebook page. So we've been able to find some new ways that didn't occur to me that we can open up the window of opportunity for the census. And so we're continuing to try to have additional ideas as well, but these are the two that are really working well for us right now.
Ms. Wilkins?
Sure. One of the ideas that I've seen that has inspired me, I can't say how creative it is, but I do think that it's important and needed, is that Arkansas State University in Jonesboro has brought together their student organizations, so their Student Government Association, the sororities and fraternities, and all of the other organizations on their campus. And they are going to mobilize the students to actually go out into the community and do census canvassing for their neighborhoods. And so I think that that does two things. I think one, college students are actually one of the underrepresented and undercounted groups of individuals usually during the census, because a lot of people think that they should be counted at their home. But college students are supposed to be counted where they live as of April 1st, 2020. So if they live on campus, then they should be completing the census to say that they live on campus. But again, a lot of families and a lot of students think, oh, well, my parents are gonna do it because that's my home address, or they just don't know about the census because they're younger and they maybe weren't, you know, they didn't do the 2010 census. And so I think that one, it helps educate the college students that they need to do the census themselves, but then B, it helps them to get out into the community and also use some of their young energy to do some of the walking and the talking and doing some of the awareness. And so I would love to see what's happening at Arkansas State, happening at all of the colleges across the state, because I just think that that is such a really kind of cool and unique model. And again, it's a way to do a two-generational approach and make sure that you're reaching young people who may use their phone, but also mobilizing them in a way that they may be talking to other people who may not be aware of the census moving online.
And Ms. Chilcote, you've talked quite a bit about what the libraries around the state will be doing, but any thoughts here?
One of the things that we're going to be encouraging libraries to do, especially the ones that have that are going to be having an iPad, which is something that they can, you know, carry around, is to take them to programs, especially when we have young children who are in programs. The parents need to be there with the children, but they don't necessarily need to be engaged. And so they would be able to answer the census right there in the library. And I've heard of some libraries that are going to be hosting census parties on Census Day and have everyone come in. And I think that's something that we're going to be encouraging people to do. In other communities, I've heard people doing, you know, anywhere that people are sort of a captive audience, laundromats are getting to be really popular places, for libraries to be doing outreach. I'm not aware of anybody here locally who's doing that, but doing outreach in laundromats, and that would be another great place. I'm not sure we call them laundromats anymore. It might be old-fashioned. It might be a washateria or something like that, but getting out there where people are just kind of stuck. I mean, I'd love to take one on an elevator and catch people while we're riding up and down. But anything that you can do to catch people where they live their day-to-day lives so that they don't have to go out of their way, those things will be very helpful in reaching out to people who are, I mean, let's face it, we're all very busy. And certainly we've been talking about the difficulty of getting children counted. That's a big undercounted population. And so anything we can do to reach out to busy parents and help grease the wheels a little bit and get them to answer the census, I think that will be time well spent.
Colonel Shefflett, we've talked quite a bit about the effort among leaders, but are we getting enough support from political leaders in the state or mayors around the state to adequately achieve this?
Well, I think a lot of public officials probably think it's still early since we're still in 2019. But we have convinced our mayor to participate with us whenever he can. And his wife is also active, and she's on our committee, and she canvasses in our neighborhoods. And so I think it is early, but in some cases, when people are not familiar with the census process or its meaning, we have to take the extra time and maybe, like we're doing, visit two or three times in some of these neighborhoods that haven't performed well in the past, because one attempt may just not do the trick. So we have to be diligent and we have to be persistent. The cause is very important, and the extra effort is going to be worth it in the end. And what we found is that when we do talk to people who are not inclined to participate in the census, we take a fact sheet with us that shows what kind of programs these federal dollars from the census can provide in our city. And it's amazing when you open people's eyes with the facts about the benefit of these federal dollars coming back to us and being able to help people keep their heat on in the winter or get them food stamps and a variety of other programs. A lot of those examples really hit home, and that can be a very convincing process. And we haven't been successful 100%, but we're working on it.
And Ms. Wilkins, for the goals of the groups that you work with, is the support there adequate from the political leaders or mayors, community leaders, or different groups?
I think that I've been very surprised pleasantly about the way that mayors have stepped in and really taken a role in the census. And one of the things that I know that the Arkansas Municipal League has been working with the mayors on is, one, making sure that they have the correct boundaries drawn. And I know that that doesn't seem important on its head, but it is important, again, when you're trying to ensure an accurate count, because as we know, you know, depending on what town you live in, some towns have the lines that are drawn in your head and the lines that are actually drawn through data and research. And so I know that, you know, the State Department has really been working with the mayors to make sure that they have the actual correct lines drawn. And that's important for the mayors because that determines the funds that come into your town. And so you want to make sure that you have accurate lines drawn so you can make sure that you are actually capturing the correct amount of people. Or, you know, it could be that you lose some people because you thought that one place was your line and maybe it's a little bit further down or a little bit closer in. So I do know that the mayors have been engaged in that process. And I think now it's just us transitioning them with the support of the Governor's Complete Count Committee to doing the outreach and really being an advocate in their community. And again, I've seen models of that. Mayor McGill here, again, Mayor Shirley Washington, Mayor Harold Perrin in Jonesboro is on their Complete Count Committee. And so there are definitely mayors who have been stepping in and being the vocal advocates to really push the census forward. And they're moving into that phase now to say, you know, we understand it's important for people to get counted. And here's how you do it. Because I think that's the other piece of messaging that, you know, we want to push mayors to really talk about is, you know, it's important, but here are the ways that it gets done so we can actually be getting people out to do the census.
Ms. Chilcote, any thoughts?
I would also extend what we've been saying about mayors to county judges. I've been very pleasantly surprised. I've encountered so many county judges, and I think like Mayor McGill and the county judges, they all understand what's at stake for their communities. And I think those who pay close attention, you know, a lot of them are perhaps even still reeling from the last census and saying, oh, we didn't get everyone that we could have gotten. We could have gotten more dollars, if, you know, if we had put more of an effort forth. And so I think that there's a lot of awareness out there, and I think that what, you know, we need to do as leaders in this effort is to make sure that they have the resources to get out to their people and make sure that they do get the count that they strive to get.
And Mayor McGill, you may have some thoughts about the efforts of mayors, but if you can answer that. But I'm also curious too about the governor's thoughts, since he named you chair of this complete
count. That's a good question. Why he named me chair? I haven't asked him why, but it is an honor to serve at the request of the governor. But what we hope to do is create an army of surrogates in Sebastian County. We're working closely with our county judge. We're going to create an army of surrogates. And by that, I mean we're going to, our complete count committee is probably 30, 40 plus. And each one of them is going to be responsible for wearing their census hat wherever they go. When they go to their church, they've got to mention the census. When they go to their service organization, they've got to take time to mention the census and encourage people to participate. And as they move about, we hope that they get more surrogates. And hopefully before long, we will have an army of 2,000 or 3,000 people in and about Sebastian County talking about the census and its importance to the state. I think in 2014, $6.1 billion of our state budget came from the federal government. And again, a lot of that is driven by the census count. Those are big numbers. And when we begin to drive those points home, people will be a little bit more excited and be a little bit more energized in spreading the word and encouraging people to participate. So again, our hope is to have fun doing it. Go where people don't know us and spread the word, participate in every event in the town and in the county. and be talking census and census dollars.
And tell me a little more about the committee. How often are y'all meeting, and what is actually being discussed at these meetings?
In the Fort Smith Complete Count Committee, that we've got a lot of young millennials involved. And the energy that came out of that first meeting was astounding to me. They come up with all kinds of ideas. They're going to have their T-shirts. They're going to have their parties. They're going to have all sorts of things. It's going to be fun. First of all, it's going to be fun to them. They're going to be doing all the things they enjoy doing. But they're going to be talking about that census. And I think we have a committee of about 25 or 30. And we've touched every segment of our community. We have college students. We have the faith-based community represented. We have our Latin American communities represented. We have every segment of our population is represented on that committee. Again, at the end of the day, we're going to turn them into surrogates that's going to spread out across our community. And we're going to have fun letting people complete that census.
Ms. Wilkins, in 2010, 2 million children under the age of 5 were not counted in the census. Why have young kids been left off in such high numbers, and what can be done to try to avoid that?
So our efforts for children 0 to 5 have really been led by Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. And they have really been working on pulling together information to A, explain why kids are often undercounted, but B, offer toolkits and resources to help families as well as other institutions like early childhood centers, Head Starts, and other places know what to do to help get kids counted. But there are a variety of reasons why kids aren't counted and have been historically undercounted. The biggest thing is if a kid splits their time between two homes, one parent may think another parent did the census and another parent may think the other parent did it, and so kids are missed. But even beyond the 0 to 5 population, if you're talking about kids up to 18, which are all undercounted, then you have non-traditional family living, right? So a kid may live with their grandparent, or they may live with their aunt or uncle, or they may just be in transition. And so for reasons such as that, they are undercounted. Babies, people think I'm not supposed to count my newborn, or my newborn isn't one, or my newborn is a newborn. And so those are reasons. So there are a variety of reasons why the kids are missed, but I do want to offer some state level numbers to kind of show what the impact is in terms of what the census data gives us funding for here. So CHIP in our kids, so our state Medicaid program that is for children, we receive over $174 million in funding that is based off of census data for our kids. The National School Lunch Program, we receive nearly $135 million, and that is again to feed children in school. Head Starts receive over $92 million, and then WIC, we receive over $69 million. And so those, again, to echo Mayor McGill, those are high numbers, and the people who stand to lose out on this are kids. And so if one of the things that we're doing, again, is working in early childhood centers and Head Starts, but also moving up to the K through 12. We have a superintendent on our Complete Count Committee, and I know that there's a member of the Arkansas Department of Education on the Governor's Complete Count Committee. We've also been talking to the Arkansas Education Association and the Arkansas Association of Education Administrators to say what are the things that we can do to make sure that parents and people are aware that you need to count children. Children are people too. And one of the resources on uscensus.gov is the statistics in school form, which allows educators to actually take the census into the classroom. And hopefully through teaching the kids about the census, we will actually be empowering them to go back to their parents and say, hey, I learned about the census today. Am I counted? So, we want to make sure that we are reaching out to not only those large departments, again, ADE, AEA, AEA, and other large school-based organizations, but also just on the basic level, how can we get parents informed and how can we get teachers to help put out some of the messaging that can make sure that kids get counted.
Ms. Chilcote, anything the library is doing with regards to children and getting the word out?
Well, I think that a lot of the people who do tend to come into libraries are parents bringing their children, and so we certainly hope to capture them in that way. And also, as I had said earlier, with programming, if we can get the attention of the parents while their children are in children's programs, we'll be able to make that answering the census just a very easy process for them. We know that parents are very busy, and we want to make it as easy as possible for them to get their children counted as well as themselves.
Mayor McGill?
One of the issues that is often being brought up at our state meeting is funding. At the regional meeting, one of the states, I think Illinois, is putting close to $30 million into their complete count. Over the last two or three censuses, they've lost representation at the national level because of undercounts. And so they are putting a major effort in resources in making sure that does not happen again. They're struggling to hold on to the number of congressional representatives they have. Certainly, I don't think we're in danger of losing any, but I think it'd be critical for us to get a good count by getting some resources that we can disseminate to these communities, particularly in those communities that have been undercounted. We have a great agency that's helping us with some of that, but we need a much more robust effort in funding and making sure we do get a better count and that we don't be 35th when it comes to getting a complete count.
35th compared to other states?
Yes.
Colonel Shefflett?
Well, I know that this year the Census Bureau had quite a budget cut. It was $3 billion, I understand. And we had depended on the publications that came from the Census Bureau. It's quite expensive to reproduce, even if it's just plain white paper. It's a lot of money, and it's coming out of our pocket right now. Fortunately, our mayor is listening to our plight, and we've gone to our advertising and promotion committee with a budget for next year and the remainder of the census campaign, and it looks like we will be getting some funding. In the meantime, we're just going to dig into our pockets and do what we need to do because it's important to get the word out. One of the things that we've come up with is to create some small posters that hopefully aren't too expensive to reproduce and take them around to local businesses, for example, pediatrician offices, some of the R care offices, and put those posters up and just remind the parents, the moms and dads, caregivers that the kids count too, and we need to keep that in mind. So hopefully planting these seeds right now, when they get their mail from the Census Bureau next March, hopefully they're going to remember that little push that we gave to remind them that kids are census counters too.
Well, we have time for one more question. This is the Issues That Matter Forum, brought to you by the Central Arkansas Library System, League of Women Voters, and KUAR FM 89.1. Just wanted to open it up for any final thoughts from each of you. And Ms. Chilcote, I'll start with you for this one.
Yes, well, we're just really honored to have been included in some of the circles. The Arkansas State Library is a state agency, and we don't have any sort of authority over any of the libraries in the state, but we do all that we can to help them. That's a major part of our charge. And so we are just very excited to be able to provide support. We provide support of all sorts to libraries around the state, but I can't think of any support that we will provide in the coming year that will be more important than helping to be sure that they are prepared to help the people in their individual communities throughout the state to answer the census and to have questions and concerns that they have as citizens answered by the people that they trust, which is often at the library in their own community.
Mayor McGill?
We want to make sure that everyone that lives in the state of Arkansas understand the economic importance of participating in the census. It occurs only every 10 years, and a significant part of the state's budget is driven by those census numbers. It's critical, it's vital, and everyone matters in this situation. We want to count everyone.
Colonel Shefflett.
Well, I echo what you just said. Everybody is important. Everyone counts, and therefore everyone should be counted because we are all residents here in the United States of America, and this requirement is part of our Constitution that every 10 years we count how many people are here, and we determine how the U.S. House of Representatives districts in our state should be drawn. And it also affects our school district boundaries. There are so many good things that flow from the census work, and it supports so many things that we need more resources for. So if we can convince people that this is their civic duty, it's a privilege to be an American, it's a privilege to fill out the survey when the census comes, and to help this system, which has been going on since 1790, to support the causes that are important and the programs that support our population.
Kara Wilkins, you get the final word.
I just want to echo again, agreed with everyone here on the panel, and just highlight that one of the things that Arkansas Counts stands here ready to do is really to be a convener and a networker to bring together all of the local complete count committees and mayors and business people and schools and everybody who is interested in the census. And so in January, we will host a statewide census summit here in Little Rock, where anybody who is interested in the census from around the state can come free of charge. And what we would like to do is give people the tools and resources that they need. I think the Colonel kind of hit on printing being an issue, and it is, and so we will have some materials that people can take back to their community with them, as well as hear from other people across the state of what's happening, because I think that that's important for the person in El Dorado to know what's happening in Fort Smith, to know what's happening in Jonesboro, to know what's happening in Northwest Arkansas, because I think getting those ideas and then taking them back to your community and deploying them is really the next action step that we all need to take to ensure a complete count.
Thank you to my panelists, Fort Smith Mayor George McGill, who is chair of the State Complete Count Committee formed by the governor, retired Colonel Nancy Shefflett, working with the U.S. Census Bureau and co-chair of the Jacksonville Census 2020 Committee, Kara Wilkins, coordinator of 2020 Census for Arkansas Impact Philanthropy, and its partners, Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families, the Arkansas Public Policy Panel, and Arkansas United, and Jennifer Chilcote, Deputy Director of the Arkansas State Library. Thanks to everyone who came out here to the Nixon Library in Jacksonville. I'm Michael Hiplin. This is the Issues That Matter Forum, brought to you by the Central Arkansas Library System, League of Women Voters, and KUAR 89.1. Thanks for listening.